Good morning. Good to be here. Now, last Friday we gathered here and we had a time of praise and worship, a time of the word, and also a time of praying especially for those that needed the healing touch of the Lord. And I made a remark towards the end of the service. I said, wouldn't it be wonderful? I just feel so good the minute I stepped in here that night. It was so refreshing, and I said to myself, and I shared this feeling with everyone, that wouldn't it be wonderful to fill this place with our people on a Friday night? Hallelujah. Then it's really TGIF. Thank God it's Friday, right? I really feel that God deserves more than what we give Him on Sunday. So, you know, the once in a while that Pastor John and I get some bright ideas of calling the congregations together to gather on Friday, I hope you you all will be with us and say, yes, we're going there, even if it's just to honor God with our praise and worship. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day, everyone. Every one of the men who are fathers, of course. Amen. And today, I'd like for you to turn your Bibles with me to this Deuteronomy chapter 30. We'll begin reading from verse 11 all the way down to 20. Ready? For this commandment which I give you today is not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. It is not in heaven that you would say, who will ascend to heaven for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it and do it? Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us, that we may hear it? But the word is very near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. In other words, just this portion that we just read, what Moses is saying, hey, what I am commanding you, what God's commanding you, it's not too hard to understand. It doesn't require rocket science. Amen? Verse 15, I set before you today life and good, death and evil, in that I command you today to love the Lord your God, to walk in His ways and to keep His commandments, His statutes and His judgments, that you may live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you in the land which you go to possess. But if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them, I announce you today that you shall surely perish. You shall not prolong your days in the land in which you cross over the Jordan to go in and possess. I call heaven and earth as witnesses today against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey His voice, and that you may cling to Him, for He is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. I don't know about you, but to us Filipinos who come over here, America is like Canaan, the land of promise. It's a land literally flowing with milk and honey. Now, the first two leaders of God's people, Moses and Joshua, towards the end of their life and ministry, urged Israel with the word choose. Verse 19, I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today that I have set life before you, life and death, and blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life that you and your descendants may live. Joshua challenged God's people. And it is an often quoted verse that we all like to quote in Joshua 24:15. And if it seems evil for you today to serve the Lord your God, choose you today whom you will serve, whether the gods of your fathers that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites, the Canaanites, in whose land now you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Life, as you and I have observed, is a long series. It's a series of choices which we make every day. Do you make decisions every day? We make choices every day. And in fact, as a matter of fact, every hour, every minute, we make choices. We choose what time to wake up. We choose to bathe or not. We choose to eat breakfast or skip it. We choose what clothes to wear. We choose to work hard or to be lazy. We choose to study our lessons and do our homework or waste time on the TV set or unproductive use of the internet, right? Thank you for that thunderous amen. Last Friday night, and Pastor John and I are trying to get you to read the Bible, but you're saying you have no time. Last Friday night, I was with Pastor John, Pastor Ray, Fischler, and Jason. We were at IHOP, you know, after a night, like Friday night. So we sat there, and for a while, we were presented with a menu. And the waiter must have come back two or three times to take our orders and said, we are not yet ready. Why? There were just so many choices. We had to choose. Then, you and I also can make the decision and the choice to listen to our parents. Right? I am speaking to young people today, but we all have parents, right? And so, we can also choose to obey them or disobey them. We choose to spend time with God or not. What we are today is a summation of our choices. What we will become next week or 10 years from now down the line depends on the choices that we make. Amen? Choices, good or bad, have consequences. We can't escape the consequences. Our choices can improve us or it can ruin us. They give life or bring death. One of the lines my children used to sing when they were little, when we would have our teachings in the Philippines, goes this way. You win or you lose by the way you choose. Secondly, choices do not just affect you alone or affect us individually. The choices that we make are like ripples in the pond. The expanding concentric ripples are like the effects of the choices that we make. Proverbs 10:1, this is the verse that I love to share and taught our children, especially my sons, to memorize. A wise son makes a glad father, but the foolish son is the grief of his mother. Amen? Children, sons, and daughters, the choices that you make will affect others also, beginning with your parents. The best way to honor your parents is to listen and submit to their guidance and training, which will lead you in making right choices. Thank you for the amen. It is said that the original inhabitants of our country, the Native Americans, made important decisions or choices by asking how they would affect the people and the land for the next seven generations. Now, we can learn from this. In a generation that makes decision based on whim, instant gratification, and feeling of entitlement without the sense of responsibility. One of the most important choices that you and I will make is the choice of a wife and a husband. Mm-hmm. I got more amens that time, Pastor John. The choice of a wife or a husband will affect you not sooner or later, but sooner than later. A wife or a husband can be a boon or a bane. He or she can make a bitter butter better or make a better butter bitter. Right? Listen to Proverbs 31, verses 10 to... You can go all the way down to 35, but we'll just read up to verse 15. Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies. The heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeks wool and flax and willingly works with her hands. She is like the merchant ships. She brings her food from afar. She also rises while it is yet night and provides food for her husband. Don't you like a wife like that? Well, husbands also. Verse 23 tells us further how the prestige of a husband. Her husband is known in the gates, when he sits among the elders of the land. We told our children that you will know that you are in a good relationship when your grades are improving. It is that relationship that builds up and not brings down. My best grades in college came when I met my wife. Well, she was smart. I had to keep up with her. But I would be ashamed if I didn't have good grades. Here's an example from Charles Swindoll's book, Favorite Stories and Illustrations, of how a choice can affect future generations, just like what the Native Americans thought of when every time they made a decision. Two families from the state of New York were studied very carefully. One of that was of Max Jukes' family, and the other of Jonathan Edwards' family. The thing that they have discovered in this study is remarkable. Like begets like. Max Jukes was an unbelieving man, and he married a woman of like character who lacked principle. Among the known descendants of over 1,200 that were studied, 310 became professional vagrants. 440 physically wrecked their lives by debauched lifestyle. 130 were sent to the pen for an average of 13 years each, seven of which were for murder. There were over 100 who became alcoholics, 60 became habitual thieves, 190 public prostitutes. Of the 20 who learned a trade, 10 of them learned the trade in the state prison. It cost the state about $1,500,000, and you're talking about the year 1700s. And they made no contribution whatsoever to society. In about the same era, the family of Jonathan Edwards came to the scene. And Jonathan Edwards, a man of God, married a woman of like character. And their family began, and they became part of the study that was made. 300 became clergymen, missionaries, and theological professors. Over 100 became college professors. And over 100 became attorneys. 30 of them judges. 60 of them became physicians. Over 60 became authors of good books. 14 became presidents of universities. There were numerous giants in the American industry that emerged from this family. 3 became United States congressmen, and 1 became the vice president of the United States. You win or you lose by the way you choose. Your choices that you make today will affect not only you, but your choices will have an effect down the years to come. And that's why, together with Moses, Pastor John and I would say, choose life. Amen? Jonathan Edwards one day made the choice to follow Jesus Christ and serve God. He also made the right choice of marrying a godly woman. That's why Paul told us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, somewhere in verse 14, do not be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. How do you build a house with two sets of blueprints? Amen? Which blueprints do you follow? Here is our blueprint. But if you marry an unbeliever, you will be working with another blueprint. Amen? Jonathan Edwards chose God. He chose life. You win or you lose by the way you choose. Moses, in his parting words just before his people entered the promised land, emphasized verse 5, the Lord your God will bring you to the land which your fathers possessed, and you shall possess it. He will prosper you and multiply you more than your fathers, and told the Israelites, therefore, choose life, that both you and your descendants may live, that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice, that you may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days, and that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, to give them. We are in a similar situation, for us especially have entered America, the land of promise. And by the way, even the rest of you, your fathers also, which it was just a matter of time. We all came at a different time. Now God wants you, you and I, and all of us to prosper and have a long, meaningful lives. Now we just read verse 5. He will prosper you. However, as good and as loving and as compassionate as our God is, He also set laws and principles that are immutable. They cannot be changed. Just like the law of gravity in nature. What goes up must go down. Pastor Joe, haven't you heard of the Wright brothers? Yeah, but you're only thinking about takeoff, about touchdown. Amen? We also work with gravity. What goes up ultimately goes down. When we follow His laws and principles or His ways, things will go well with us individually. And any people that follow and obey and serve the Lord your God, they and their land will prosper. The ways of God, His laws and principles, which can be summed up in His word, bring life, or as Moses said, He is your life and the length of your days, that you may dwell in the land which the Lord swore to your fathers. And that is why when you read the news and see the decisions and the laws and the bills that our leaders are making, you know what? It behooves us to come and meet here, other than Sundays, even on Fridays. Because the hope of this nation, out of the crisis that we are in today, is not the economic geniuses that we have. It is still God, our Heavenly Father. Amen. I have been pushing for our folks to read through the Bible each year. I am convinced that as God's people, we must know the history of Israel, the ways of God, what pleases God, and the contents of the Bible. Amen? I am really convinced with that. And I told our people, you will keep hearing this from me even if your ears fall off. I am convinced because I remember one of my favorite authors, Derek Prince, he said, the way you treat the Word of God is the way you treat God. No more, no less. So if you say you're a Christian and you love the Lord, but you have a dusty Bible, you make your conclusion. I want you to choose life today. Now you would have observed, reading through the Bible, the life of the Israelites have been a series of ups and downs, success and failures, victories and defeats, joy and pains. In Joshua, for example, the Israelites were unstoppable. Joshua and the Israelites defeated a string of 30 kings. But look at the book of Judges. Listen to chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Then the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. So the Lord delivered them into the hand of Midian for 7 years. And the land of Midian prevailed against Israel because of the Midianites, the children of Israel made for themselves dens and the caves and the strongholds which are in the mountains. God's people were now hiding in caves. Why? In Joshua, under the strong leadership of a godly man, they were challenged, choose you this day whom you will serve. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Amen? But what a contrast. The last verse in the book of Judges, chapter 25, verse 21, it says, in those days there was no... Oh, chapter 21, verse 25. In those days there was no king, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Now, we are living today in a world whose attitude is exactly like that. If it feels good, do it. I have freedom, so I'll do it. With freedom comes responsibility and accountability. Amen? Now, what was the response of Israel to Joshua in verse 16? So the people answered and said, far be it from us that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. For the Lord our God is He who brought us out, brought us and our fathers up out of the land of Egypt, from the land of bondage, who did those great signs in our sight and preserved us in all the way that we went and among all the people through whom we passed. And the Lord drove out from us all the people, including Amorites who dwell in the land, we also will serve the Lord, for He is our God. We will also serve the Lord, for He is our God. I don't know about you, but I receive emails, right? Four words. And some of them, you said, oh, you know what? It's scary. You know, there are terrorists all over the land and so on and so on. No, to some of them, I replied, you know what? That's not what I'm afraid of. What I'm afraid of is not the other people, but what I'm afraid of is our neglect of God. For therein is our safety. If we serve and follow and really honor God, things will be restored in this land, and we don't have to worry as much as we do. Amen? Joshua and the people during his time made the right choices, a choice of following God. They chose life. Many years later, after Joshua had died and the elders, a new generation rose up who did not know the Lord nor His works. Their choice, everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And folks, the sad thing can be that you can be in church and do not know the Lord. Hello? The sad thing can be that you do not realize, it is sad when people do not realize that they do not know the Lord. But it is even sadder when they realize and do not want to do anything about it. That is why, as pastors, we would like for you to read, to study, to spend time with God, because that's the only way you get to know Him. Moses warned his people in verse 17, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away and worship other gods and serve them. You know, in our home Bible studies, I've emphasized to them, I said, God was more tolerant with other sins, except for the sin of worshiping other gods. Now you may say, oh, Pastor Joe, but we don't have idols. See, there's no carved image here or what. But Jesus said, you can serve either God or mammon. Hello? And I'm afraid today that we are working this way. We want God to work around our schedule rather than us work our schedule around God. And we are quick to sing and to quote that verse in Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Hey, let's put the horse before the cart, not the cart before the horse, okay? Moses warned, but if your heart turns away so that you do not hear and are drawn away, no, it will be a time of danger in Israel, as we've seen in the book of Judges. Of the first three kings of Israel, David was the only one when confronted by Nathan the prophet, confessed and repented without hesitation nor excuses. If you read Psalm 51, it is his psalm of repentance. Saul did not repent from his sin of initially offering unlawful sacrifice, which he was not supposed to do, then to disobedience in the conquest of the Amalekites, and then later on turning to mediums and witches, which showed that he had no confidence and he did not serve Jehovah God. Can you imagine how the revered prophet Samuel even feared for his life because of Saul? Read 1 Samuel 16. Solomon, the wisest man, the one who built God's magnificent temple, was lured away from faithfulness to Jehovah by 700 wives and 300 concubines. You know, I thought about that for a while. If he only had one son for every woman, Pastor John, he'd have 1,000. You know what that is? Those of you in the military, that's 4 battalions. Am I right? Following God is a choice just as rebelling and turning away from Him is. Just as life is a series of choices, but here's what we must understand. Choices are affected by influences. In other words, we make choices based on influences in our lives. In the matter of serving God or rebelling or turning away from Him, both of them are a matter of influences. There are two major influences that I can think. Reading the Bible, there are two major influences. First, God's law, or in our case, the Bible. It is an influence in our lives, a huge influence. Then, of course, today, we are saturated with books and newspapers. You read editorials and commentaries. And these are also influences. The second influence, great influence in our lives, is the people around us. Today, even through the media, Hollywood, popular TV personalities, sports stars, commentators, and journalists affect our thinking and ultimately our choices. Be careful. Be careful who you allow to influence you in your life. You win or you lose by the way you choose. One of the duties of a king was to make a copy of the law. Deuteronomy 17:18 says, "Also it shall be, when he sits on the throne of his kingdom, that he shall write for himself a copy of this law in a book, for the one before, from the one before the priest, the Levites." God wanted the king of Israel to know God and to live and to rule by the laws and principles of God. Why? God's laws were first of all an identity. It identified them as the people of God. And it separated Israel from the other peoples who worship other gods in different and unrighteous ways. Today we have God's Word, the Bible, which are meant to reveal God and to show us His ways so we can live according to them and have life and have it more abundantly. Pastor Ron Wood, in his book, Honoring God's Word, says this, "God's Word is seed with life in it. Seed has to come up out of the ground. God's Word is not like magic, but it is spiritual living seed. It has to grow in the heart, lodge in your mind, be voiced by your mouth. The Word of God is life-giving. That is why we must read it, we must study it, and in fact, commit it to memory." Every king, it appears, reading through the Old Testament, had a prophet. Saul had Samuel, David had Nathan, Ahab had Elijah, and so on. Why? The kings needed an influence, a godly influence. The prophets guided and reminded the kings. They were their safety, so they could make right choices. You know, somebody said, "Absolute power absolutely corrupts." And that's why the king, the prophets, and the law of God were needed. And even today, Solomon was not influenced by prophets, but by his ungodly paganic wives. We have to ask ourselves today, who are our influences? We have to ask ourselves if we are letting God's Word guide us. They are choices for God's Word. They are choices for life. Today is Father's Day, and I love Father's Day. And we honor our fathers, not because it is the national holiday, nor is it because it is a great idea of man. It is God's command. Exodus 20, Deuteronomy 5, "Honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you in the land in which you dwell, and that your lives may be long." Amen? But to accomplish the goal of fatherhood, children, listen, children, you must understand that there is the other side of fatherhood. Just as you would want a good father, we fathers also want good sons and daughters. Our goal as parents, and even as pastors, and especially as fathers, is to raise up children and prepare them for life. Proverbs 22, verse 6, we all know this. "Train up a child in the way that he should grow, so that when he grows old, he will not depart from it." Your side, and see, just like in math, every balanced equation has two sides, right? Amen? Y equals 2 plus X. That is an equation. There is two sides of the equation. Your side is that you must be willing to be taught and to be trained. This is the other side of fatherhood. I'm not preaching today about how to be a good father. We've heard a lot about that. But here's the other side of fatherhood. Children, you're here today. You must be willing to listen to your parents. You must be willing to be trained. For you children to go through life, you need wisdom. Now, the key word in the book of Proverbs is wisdom, and that is the ability to live life skillfully. If you go to the first few chapters of the book of Proverbs, study those lines or verses that begin with, "My son." Okay? Go to the first 6 or 7 chapters. Every time you hear that, see the verse, read the verse that begins with, "My son," check it out. I mean, really check it out, okay? Proverbs 1:8, for example, says, "My son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother." Okay? Chapter 1, verse 10. "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, 'Come with us,' let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause." Chapter 1, verse 15. "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your foot from their path." "Oh, but dad, you know, they're my friends. Oh, but dad, you know, we're different." I have my son here. And years ago when he was in middle school, he sat before me and he was crying. He said, "Dad, why can't I be like what my classmates?" And you know, my heart went to him. And I just said, and I stood my ground, I said, "Because we are different. We are God's people." Chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 of Proverbs. "My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding." See, it all begins with listen, hear, obey. Now, I grew up and I was a Boy Scout, both literally and figuratively. I did not give my parents problems. And I did not miss out in life in anything. Did I regret not going with my friends out there and doing the bad stuff? I would not probably be here with you today if I did. Listen to chapter 3, verses 1 to 7. "My son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands. For length of days and long life and peace they will add to you. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart, and so find favor and high esteem in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him," right? "And He shall direct your paths." Now, we love this verse, but it is speaking to sons and daughters. Amen? "Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Perhaps unwittingly, our children think that they're smarter than their parents because they know more about the computer than we do. No, all I know is word processing. But let me tell you something, children. What if your computer breaks down in an exam? Can you translate Fahrenheit to centigrade and centigrade to Fahrenheit? I can. Who's smarter? I still remember that there's 2.54 centimeters to an inch, 39.37 inches to a meter, 3.28 feet to a meter, you know. Do not think that because you are higher tech that you are wise. That should just caution you to make sure that you get the right inputs in your life. "Happy is the man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for her proceeds are better than profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies." Now, she here refers to wisdom. Why she, not he? Well, you know, make wisdom more attractive, so they said she instead of he. "Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and her paths are peace. Verse 18, she is a tree of life. Wisdom is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and happy are all who retain her. Note that the desire of the Father is for their children to grow in wisdom, because you need wisdom to make right choices. But to obtain wisdom, the right way and the easy way is to listen and pay attention and heed and obey your parents' instructions, rules, and advice. Ravi Zacharias, in one of his messages that I listened to, advised the young, if you have a godly praying parents, please listen to them. I would think twice and hard before I disobey them. A while ago, I said that I've noted that reading through the Old Testament that kings had prophets to speak to their lives. We are all kings in our own rights. But our parents are the prophets who will speak the word of the Lord and guide you in life. Now, they are not prophets that will exactly predict what will happen 10 minutes from now or 10 years down the line. But based on their experience with God and walk with God, they will know that if you start on the wrong footing, you'd likely end up wrong and bad, and your life may be short. Amen? Please choose to obey your parents, that it may be well with you in the land in which you dwell, that your lives may be long. When I was in high school, believe it or not, back in the southern part of the Philippines, we read this poem by America's beloved poet, Robert Frost. It is entitled, The Road Not Taken. Two roads diverge in a yellow wood, and sorry I could not travel both, and look down one as far as I could, to where it bent in the undergrowth. Then looked the other way just as fair, as having perhaps the better claim. Though as for that passing there, had warned them really about the same, and both that morning equally lay, in lids no step had trodden black. Oh, I kept the first for another day, yet knowing how way leads to way, I doubted if I should ever come back. I shall be telling this with a sigh, somewhere ages and ages hence, two roads diverged in the woods, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference. The road not taken tells about one who was walking down the road, and suddenly the road diverges, so it comes to a fork. And the one who was walking had to make a decision to go left or right. And he noticed that one road was well trodden, and the other one was not, based on the grass and the way it looked. And that would have been the right choice to make, he said, but I chose the one less traveled by, and that has made the difference. The road not taken is not the popular road. Such is the road when you live for Jesus Christ and His Word. But we will all make that choice. But I guarantee you, like Robert Frost, you will say in the end, I took the one less traveled by, and that has made the difference. I don't know if I told you the story, but Bill Farrand, a missionary in our place in Cebu, in the Philippines, when Assemblies of God Bible School, he told his story how he was now the president of that Emmanuel Bible College, but when he came back for furlough in America, he met with his classmates. And you know, we all have reunions. And they were all exchanging stories. And then they came to him and said, Bill, what are you doing nowadays? He said, I'm a missionary. And he said, what? And they said, what? You were the most brilliant in our class, and you're a missionary? And they asked him, what if after all this, there is no God? Now, that's a good question to ask. But I told you, Bill was brilliant. And he said, if at the end of this, there is no God, what did I lose? I helped a lot of people. I made friends. I had good relationships. I did not go out and make enemies. Then he turns around and said, but what if after all this there is God? And there was Simon and Garfunkel, the sound of silence.
You know, Jesus said, wide is the road that leads to destruction, narrow is the path that leads to life. And he also said, take my yoke, my burden is easy. And come to me, all of you who are tired and heavily laden. You know? Folks, especially children here, older children, Moses said this, Joshua said this, but today I say, together with Pastor John here, you will be making choices. Choose the choices. Make the choices based and influenced by godly people and the Word of God. Choose life. Thank you. Thank you.